Well, hi, everyone. It's good to be back together again on March 3rd, 2016. And so tonight, what we're going to do, as you know from the emails you received, is we're going to talk about a video clip, a little short documentary that was done. And the way I was exposed to this was Lee and I and our friend Misty, we were sitting in the living room, just talking, and Lacey came in and she said, "I saw this video, you need to see this." And kind of our first reaction was, "Okay, how long is it?" And she said, "Well, it's, you know, it takes a while, it's about 25 minutes. And we think we kind of said, "Well, maybe we'll watch this another time." And, you know, Lacey's so good. She said, "No, I'm going to put it on right now." And she did, and I was just captured by the video. And so I thought this would be a great thing to talk about. Not that we're talking about this guy, not that we're talking about the video itself, but really, if you watch the video, you know, it's simply this young man's story. And really what I want us to do is be, you know, stimulated and inspired by a story, which is what this is about. And as you remember in the beginning, I just want to start with these thoughts, and then I just want us to go wherever we want to. You know, it is a remarkable story about what this guy has done over the years and what he's pursuing now. But I want to start with this thought. This is an ordinary guy, as you noticed in the very beginning. I mean, he's not this, you know, young phenom kind of a guy, super brilliant, you know, ends up going to Yale or Harvard or some Ivy League school. I mean, here is this young boy who, at the very beginning, he was pretty much categorized as a kid who probably wasn't going to make it. As he said, he wasn't smart. Now, these are his words, and words said to him, that he couldn't pay attention for more than 3 minutes. He had bad grades. He said everything he did ended with the words in his life of, "I can't do this." He's very relatable as you watch it. And if you haven't seen it, let me encourage you after the call, watch it. You will love this. And it's very, very, very well done. But listening to this guy's story, I was inspired. And so I just want to stop there to say we're not focused in on him and his projects. We're focused, what we want to do is talk about the things that hit us about what he said, that hit us personally. Not just simply that was a good point, but what were those profound points that I could say, oh, I want to own that thought. I want that to be part of my story, or actually part of his story is my story, but I want to be where he is and where he's going. So just, again, as introduction, Sam, John, any of your initial thoughts before we get into content of what hit you or why it hit you, this video?
I watched it in its entirety, I guess, two nights ago, and when it was completely over with, the first thought that crossed my mind, there's a quote that's attributed to D.L. Moody that says, "The world has yet to see what God can do in and through the life of a person whose heart is completely consecrated to God." Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, this is a picture of the world has yet to see what God can do in and through someone who has the courage to follow the deep, God-given passions of their heart. And that's what this guy did. And I think it's just such a perfect example, a phenomenal example of, if you stay true to those desires that God has put there, there's just no telling where it's going to take you.
Right. Right.
You know, of course, I'm also impressed with the, you know, he shows us, and I'm guessing that they're really copies of his grades or his valuation of his aptitude tests, you know, I think he actually says these are the actual aptitude tests, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Which show, you know, as you know, as Brad Weber says, fifth percentile. And yet he's an articulate, bright, young man. And one of the things that impresses me is his father's encouragement, because his father keeps quoting the passage, "I can do all things in Christ." And I'm thinking, if I had a son who was in the fifth percentile, who's tested, this is, you know, it's not just your achievement, but this is your aptitude. You know, mm-hmm. Now, of course, the tests obviously are pretty wrong, but forget the fact that they're wrong. You know, I think my inclination would have been to say, hey, son, you know, let's figure out how to do bricklaying, you know, and you're going to be a really good bricklayer or something, you know. But the father had some kind of vision of the kid who really, I think the father understood something, and he was not, I was impressed with the father's encouragement to reach for a lot more.
Right. Right. And what I, so my assumption, because we don't really know the parent's story, we're just hearing his story of what is the impact of his parents in his life, but yeah, I would suspect that his dad really believed, I mean, honestly believed about his son that he could do anything, no matter what the school system says, he could do anything through Christ. And
right.
And so one of the first things that hit me, and everyone, I'd love for you to keep reacting. Let me just pause for a minute and say, hey, I'm with you, Sarah and Candace and Kathleen. There were just times when I just teared up thinking, I want to live that way. I can do all things through Christ, and I don't want it to be my last thought. I want it to be my first thought, you know, and such a powerful story. But one of the things that hit me right off was this idea, and we've talked about this before, that tests, indicators, these kind of things, personality analysis, they can never, ever truly reveal the glory, the brilliance, the depth, the weightiness of your life that God has created you to carry. It's in you. Now, bound up before we meet Christ, but nonetheless, those things can never touch it, but we so easily, in this world we live in, let them define us. It's easy to let them have the final word on us and our life and our place in this world, and it's so untrue.
I love that you saw that, Gary. I did not see that. I mean, we talk about it at every single retreat, every single online calling course that, you know, the tests and stuff aren't enough. But, man, you nailed it on this one. This guy is our poster child for that message, isn't he?
Oh, he is. I know. I'll have to get a clip out of that now.
I didn't see that. I didn't see that at all, Gary. That's brilliant.
Well, I didn't see it till just when I watched it again a little bit ago, and so I could take in more detail because there's so much there. But thank you, Sam.
Oh, that is really brilliant. It really is. You do a lot of brilliant things.
Well, thank you. But this
not
isn't
always,
about me.
But sometimes. but I have faith. That
yeah, thank you. Yeah.
That's really good.
The other thing, and I don't want to dominate this, but I'm real excited, as you can tell, but I'll slow down here. But the thing I loved about it was soon after that, you realized that in order to not let these tests and indicators and the world system define him, what he had to do is he had to follow his desires. That he had to kind of let them take a leading role, not the leading role, but a leading role, evidently, in his life. He just followed them, as you could tell. And I loved it when he said, you know, so I thought, someone said, well, maybe you would be good at this. I think it was he wanted to do some sort of art, and his dad said, well, you should do graphic design, you know. And he talks about how to first got into it, and then he said, and I fell in love with it. You know, I love that. He kind of found something his heart embraced. He fell in love with it, and he went after it. But then, of course, you see, then he goes to the next thing. But he really, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I thought you were just going to say, so what I liked about the fact was both it's a mixture of what he loves, but it's a mixture of some other things added in because he loved art. His dad said, well, let's make some money about it, so let's study commercial artistry, which means he's going to have to do it on the computer. And he was scared to death of that. So he didn't love computers. But he tried something. That's the thing that I liked about that. You know,
yeah.
He didn't limit himself by his current desires. Mm-hmm. He was willing to try something that he had no desire for. But when he tried that thing where he had no desire for, he often realized he actually did have a big passion for it. And the same thing with photography, where I think was where you were going. His initial inclination is to say, no way, Jose. But So it's a mixture of both your passion, but also taking some advice of outside people, trying something you've never tried before. It's not all like we have this instinctive desire to be a commercial artist and a photographer. It took him a while to get to that point.
So, and I like that he's
interrupting you because I thought that was really an important point.
Well, I like that he also said that being a photography rock star was not my goal. You know, it wasn't about the thing that he was learning. It was there was a deeper undercurrent. Photography matched a deeper underlying desire, just like art did, and just like graphic design did. There was just something deeper there that was driving him.
And he didn't. He never rested on a plateau. He keeps trying new things. He keeps going forward.
Right. And Brad Weber's comment, and anyone, if you want to get on the phone and just, you know, say verbally, you know, get on with us and give us your impressions, please do that. You know the drill. You just hit star 2 on the telephone, and then we'll see your hand and we'll get you on. But Brad said here, and this is bringing it down to his core. He said, I think that his story fits well in the online calling course session this week. He is willing to live in the mystery of where God will take him. And he continues to ask, seek, and knock what's next. You're right. There it is, right there. Okay, so then, and going with this, with what you said, Sam and John, I there's a point very close into where we are kind of following, kind of sequential into a story, because it is a story. I love it, and I'm not sure what he was doing at the time. Must have been photography. No, I think it was graphic art. It was something, or initial photography. It must have been graphic design. But he said he got fired. And he said it was great because it led him into the next thing. He had to kind of reanalyze what he had learned so far and the desires of his heart and let it take him to the next thing. Whereas how many of us in our own life have seen stories of others who early on find something they love, they pursue it, and they lock into it and it becomes their identity, the way they express it, whether it's being a teacher or being a, you know, an artist or being a musician or being a leader or whatever it is, they lock in to a role or position or place instead of saying, wait a minute, no, actually what I love is this, and I don't know if I love expressing it in this particular way anymore. And you know, sometimes God forces our hand and he says, you know what, I have to get you to take this and manifest this in a different way, so since you won't leave, how about if I just get you fired, you know, or something. And you just see this play out in his life. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I'm complete in agreement that so often what we consider to be a huge tragedy ends up being the exact opposite. And he did not see being fired as a tragedy. Now, he might have in the middle of the moment, you know, I mean, he's not perfect. But in hindsight, you know, he can look back on his life and say, man, that was just the greatest thing. That's just what I needed. And it really did propel him into something new that he would never have gone into if he hadn't been fired.
Right.
For most of us, let's be honest, most of us see something like being fired as the worst thing in the world.
Oh, right. It's terrible. It's wounding. It's of the devil. It's
well, all kinds of tragedies. I mean, there's all kinds of things in our lives that are disappointments, and we think those disappointments are the end of the world.
Right.
He's saying
so,
they're not.
Okay, so on this theme of God getting us to continue or helping us continue to move down the road on the journey has for us as he's building, he's nurturing, he's forming the glory, the brilliance, the weightiness of our life and getting us to take it different places where he needs it. So not only, you know, he talked about his first thing, he was fired, but that led him to the next thing. And then I think he said the next job he had became boring. So, and this is a young man here too, and he said, so I didn't think I just jumped. He jumped to the next thing. So there are different factors playing into moving him on, like with us, right? We may get fired, something may change, we get extremely bored, and it's that coaxing to move to the next thing. And you know, I just think God will do that. He will do what he has to do to get us to keep moving in the mission that he has for us, you know. I just think he played that out well in his story.
So how do we apply this to ourselves? What in our lives look like a mistake, look like a failure, look like it's the end of the world, where we can take his message into our own hearts? I mean, people might be divorced out there. People might be failing in their job. Things may not be succeeding. I'm trying to think of making this real. You know, you may have written a book and publishers are rejecting it.
Did I say that to you? That's what was happening?
No.
Okay.
Pardon, Alec. But, I mean, really, I think to make this personal, sometimes we want to say, what in my life, how can my life right now, can I apply this? Because it's so easy to say that was great for him.
Right.
But what about me?
So let me throw out a quick story, and then, John, it's your turn to talk, and I'll be quiet for a minute. So a quick story, and this is not patting myself on the back, okay, this kind of thing. But the idea of desire and just thinking, well, you know, because I'm really big on the idea, if God gives you a desire, he surfaces something on your heart that you would just kind of love to do. It sounds fascinating, or however you describe it, that as you pray about it, if God does not, you know, as we use the word, give you some sort of a check, if you don't sense God saying, no, that's not for you, or not now, or something, that I think you just move in that direction. And you don't have to go full steam ahead. You don't sell the farm for it, but you just start moving in that direction. And then, you know, God either kind of confirms it, or you just realize that, you know, this wasn't about what I'm supposed to be doing. It's just about, this is something that brings great life to my heart, and maybe later on I'll know more about this. But, you know, this idea that Lee had for me of developing, you know, producing these videos of people's kind of calling journey stories, if you will. I don't have a good title for it yet. And I just thought, you know what, I'd just do it. Just, there's nothing to lose. It just will be fun to try, and I'll do it with what I've got in the time I have. And I am really enjoying it. Now, I think it will turn out to be something that will be helpful. I think when it's done, I'll be proud of it. Like, hey, I'm glad I did that. But I don't really know what it will turn into. And I'm not spending much money to do it, but I'm just pursuing something. And I have I don't think I'll ever become a video production guy. I just don't think that's a big part of who I am. But I'm willing to pursue it because it's on my heart, and I'll see what happens. And so this kind of felt a little reinforcing to me. I don't think my story is ever going to be his story, because he has reached these high, you know, visibility places with what he does. But I just want to live in a way that his story portrays him living, of get an idea, pursue it, see what happens, you know. So.
You know, we're so taken by his story and the effect that he's had. And you said, I don't think my story will be like that. But I was, the minute you said that, I thought, you know, when we get to heaven, we may turn around on our life and think, wow, my story was even bigger than his was, because we'll see the effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll see what really happened as a result of your life throughout the world. I think we're all going to be astonished at that.
Well, and John, that takes me back to what you shared at the base camp gathering with that picture, which was the headwaters, which was really a spring, you know, that you look at and you say, that's just not really much. But eventually it turned into what river?
It feeds into the Mississippi and eventually goes down to the Gulf of Mexico, and then gets caught in the Gulf Stream and goes all the way to Europe.
Right. And you see, when you told that story and gave that picture, that was such a great picture of,
right,
we don't think much of what we currently see about our life, but we have no idea of what this is flowing into and becoming and affecting. Yeah.
Yeah. What would you, I wanted to ask you guys, looking at this guy, Jeremy, how would you state what his calling is. What is his effect?
Well, I think we're talking about the effect it's having on us. First of all, yeah. So I do see where you're. I think I see where you're going. You know, at the very end, what he says, he says a few things which really affected me, and I don't know if he would say this is, if he would answer the question saying this is his greater purpose, as he says, when he asked the question, so what was my greater purpose in all of this? But at the very end he says, he asks these questions, what have you been too afraid of trying? What voices have kept you from reaching your potential? What voices have closed your sense of wonder? And then at the end he says, if you are alive, we need you. We need your vision. And that alone had an effect on me. And I wonder if that's really his effect. But God is saying, but I need you to have a story of this in your life so that when you speak those words, it has more power to it, you know? I know I'm defining it by certain words at this point, like yeah. I like to do and like people to do, but that's my initial reaction. John or Sam?
That? Yeah, John, what would you have said?
Well, I really had a hard time trying to put that into words. I struggle with it, and I kept being taken back to his very first thing of saying, I just wanted to be an artist, and I wanted to paint for the rest of my life. And I thought, now, at that point, he's on to his desire, but he has no idea how deep that vein runs in his life. There's something far deeper and far more powerful than just being a painter. And so I thought through the rest of the video and how that desire took him everywhere he went. So I got to thinking, all right, here he's like an artist. An artist starts out with a blank slate, and they take paints, and they can put anything, there is no limit to what they can put on that blank slate. No limit whatsoever. And that's kind of the way he lives his life. It's like there's no limit. I can do all things. And so as he goes through life, he demonstrates that whole idea of everything's possible. I'm going to go in this direction, then I'm going to go in this direction. And every direction I go in, something comes out of it. And by the end, or where he is right now, I'm thinking he's still a painter, but he's painting with ideas and he's painting with dreams. And they might be his or they might be other people's, but he's still painting, but it's just so much deeper than, you know, paint. It's people and ideas and dreams and that kind of thing, and he's creating whole new things, like this hotel thing that he had an idea of, or the photography thing where he got photographers to do nonprofit work for free. You know, who ever thought of anything like that? And yet he's bringing that to a blank slate and creating something that no one had ever seen before.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if a word to his effect, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, but he ends, his most current idea is this, you know, thing I think he called the Destiny Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, maybe that is his effect. He loves to stir, to try to awaken, bring to the surface people's destiny. Because that's what he lived out, just following, trying to figure out his destiny. And then he called those other photographers into kind of a destiny of, well, let's use your photography for the good of others, you know. And I wonder if he would say, yeah, I think that's kind of my purpose, my calling. The brilliance of my life is to stir people's destiny. I don't know.
And I guess when John asked the question, the thing that jumped at me, so John asked the question and you're answering, and then I asked John because something struck me, and that is I found this quote once years ago, and I don't know who said it. And they said, the difference between Van Gogh and you and me is that while we may look at the sky and think it's beautiful, we don't go so far as to show someone else how it looks. And I think what he does is he sees things you know, but he sees things in a way that he's able to show other people what he sees. Now, I know that that doesn't exactly fit the mold of what his calling is, but I think that he sees a need in Rwanda to show reconciliation. He sees a need in these hotels. He sees a need, but he's somehow able to articulate also the artistry in him is able to express that need to other people to capture them.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yep. So let me read a few comments here, because there's you all. You've got some great questions, comments, observations, and I don't want to miss these. So let me take one. You guys can take other ones here. Well, let's go through some of them. Sarah, you said, I love your open-heartedness with us. You said, for me, I felt kind of panicked listening to his story because my life is so quiet and so hidden and so often feels wasted, trusting God to use it. And so, Sarah, I've seen some of your art. We kind of need to get this up. Some of the pictures of some of your art on Basecamp and Secret Garden so people can see it.
I've got a piece of your art in my office. I wish I could show everybody.
Oh, you know, I do too. It's right to the right of me. I just looked over and there it is. So we need to get that up for other people to see it. But what I want to say is your life may feel quiet, but let me say that your soul, your heart is not quiet. There is a lot going on there. And when you allowed us to go through your story with you on the online calling course, we saw, you know, the depth and the activity of your very life, and it's your inner life, and it's amazing. So it's not, there's nothing missing there. It's not quiet because there's nothing there. It's just there's a lot going on there. Now, how God wants you to continually bring us out is that question of mystery. But I understand what you're saying. I know. Yes, I'm with you.
And I would say that, I mean, just the honesty of your question or your comment is a shout. I mean, it's a good shout. I think it encourages each one of us to be honest. And I mean, yeah, so one of the things I really liked about Jeremy's video is his honesty. But I think, Sarah, you're always honest, and I really appreciate the way you are that way. That's not being quiet. That's encouraging. That's allowing other people to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of your artistry.
Yeah. You guys want to take another one? There's a bunch of them up here. You want to highlight?
I'm lost.
Okay, I'll do one. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so let me just say where I'm looking right now at the Secret Garden one, and I love it. You know, Catherine wrote was good. She said it was the – and again, this hit us all differently because we're in a different place in the journey. But it was – she said it was the love reconciliation, forgiveness, the supernatural power of yielding to Christ's love, relationship things that touched me and giving people dignity. And I love that he – I mean, that theme of staying with, all things are possible for those, you know, through the life, the strength of Christ, and just staying in that and how that changed his life, gave him that courage, took those risks, was able to say, you know, I know you want me to lock me into this, whether I'll never achieve something or you're just a graphic artist or just a wedding photographer, or just, you know, whatever, talking about his journey. He just had that confidence, that steadiness because of his relationship with Christ, that he could just keep walking forward. That's you're right, Kathy. That's remarkable.
It's a great comment. Yeah.
Okay, so Sam, since you're not saying, I'm going to throw this at Sam and John. And this was the question. It's not my question, so you can't blame me. But it's a really good question. And so the question is from Crispy. He said, this is a hard one, is quitting a good job that you hate so that you can live the way you really want to live a crazy idea? How can I know if I'm on the right path in my job? So simple question to you two. Go ahead.
The answer is yes. Sam, your turn.
Wait, so, yes, it's crazy, or yes, it's the right thing to do?
I was being silly.
I know you were.
Actually, and Sam has already answered in the chat line. I'll let him.
So I would say, Chris, that a huge way God directs us is the way our heart is going. And it, at a certain point where you say, I'm hating this job, I've hated consistently for a long time, I think that's a good indication. I mean, I think that there's a misapplication of the word perseverance in Christian circles. And sometimes they say, you know, persevere. Now, I know that God has called you to be an accountant and to sit in a cubicle and do numbers. I know that that's your calling. But because you're a salesperson sitting out there talking with people, I want you to persevere in that and until you kill yourself. I don't know what they mean. You know, there's a misapplication of the word perseverance in Scripture. Perseverance means when you're doing what God has called you, you continue to do it even when it doesn't seem to be bearing fruit. But perseverance doesn't mean you're not doing what God has called you, but continue to stay there where God hasn't called you. That is not the meaning of perseverance. So I think that a good indication of where God has called you is examining your heart and seeing where how you're responding to your environment over a long period of time. I would just say we're probably the most blind to our own lives. Our clearest vision is somebody else's life. It's almost always our worst vision to be on our own life. And so, Chris, if there's any way you can get three or four guys, maybe five guys, who will go through this for a few months with you, where you can talk with them, share with them what's going on, so that they can just give you some input from a third-party perspective, if you will, an unbiased perspective because they're not in the middle of it. But don't think perseverance in this case is necessarily a virtue. You know, stubbornness is not a virtue, but stubbornness is perseverance too. So this may be God calling you somewhere else. I just can't say because I don't know all the details.
I think that's just excellent advice, and particularly the part about getting other people's eyes to look, you know, at you and give you feedback. I want to say something to the other side of the coin, though, because this has been my experience. I'm in a good job, and it's a job that in the past I have hated, but I never felt the freedom to leave. I never felt like God was saying, yes, John, it's miserable because this is not a fit for you. What I did feel like he was saying to me was, let's take a look at what you do in your job, and let's look at what is on the tablet of your heart, and let's see how we can change your current job setting to more accurately match what's on your heart. So I started to do that. And I realized that I'm at my worst when I'm sitting at my desk just crunching numbers, not talking to anybody. By the end of the day, I'm so wiped out, I don't want to do anything. On the other hand, when I'm spending most of my day talking with clients or talking with friends or doing something like that, engaging with people and giving advice and encouraging and being a cheerleader and all those things that I love to do, that can be a very appropriate part of my job. And so I have started shifting my focus to do more of that than just the number crunching and researching tax regulations and that kind of thing. And it's really changed my attitude about my work. You know, if somebody offered me to play bass for the Doobie Brothers, I would certainly take that over what I'm doing right now. But that isn't going to happen. So, and my job really, it's got a lot of positives to it. So I've been able to change just the attitude at work by changing some of the circumstances there to match my heart.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Some people don't have that freedom, and that may be the situation you're in, Chris, but I wanted to throw that out there.
I am still looking at other comments. Gary, you're doing a really good job multitasking.
Oh, thank you. Well, and by the way, saying something.
You're calling
that I was
to read all those comments.
Yeah, there's great ones, aren't there? So while you're looking at the comments, finally catching up. So, you know, one of the things that hit me about this video was that he would not allow himself to be defined by a job position title.
Because you look at the very things he did, and he could say, well, you know, I'm just a graphic artist. You know, but he was, there's something else. So he was able to move, people couldn't define him. And I think that's part of answering this question, Chris, I think. You know, so I would say, first of all, our job, if we have a job for an income, that's not the number one issue. Income is necessary. If we are a sole provider, or we need to provide for others, that kind of thing. We do need to find a paying job, but it's not the center core question right here. It's first of all, I'll tell you a story in a minute. It's first of all, do we know what it is that God has given us that we need to bring to the world? The thing that's most true of us, again, I know I overuse these words, but the glory of our life, our weightiness, our brilliance, that God says, no matter what you do, you offer this to people, no matter where you are. And what you do will help you be in front of those people that need it. So first is identifying, so what is it that I am compelled to bring to others that God has given me? Once we have some handle on that, at that moment in our life, then we have to ask, can I bring that here? I think if we can't bring any of it to our present situation, our job, let's say, then I think we have to seriously, seriously consider doing something else for an income. But as Sam said, and John, with the idea that we're asking for the eyes, the perspective, the wisdom of others who aren't in the malaise of all the emotions that surround that question, the confusion of that, the turbulence. And then even in the midst of that, we have to ask, okay, God, it seems like I can't bring who I am here, which you've given me, to advance the kingdom. So if I'm to stay, is this training for me right now? Are you training me in some way, and that's why I'm here? And I just don't think those are the big questions to ask in a present job situation. And then I think the third compelling issue that has to be answered is this. Is it killing you? If every day it feels like it's taking a piece of your life away until there will be no more of you, you know, then you have to take that very seriously, and you have to look at the timing issue as well. So that's how I'd answer it, and I think this video kind of touched on that as well.
You know, one of the things that I liked about what the video said, oh, my goodness, I've got to find it. Shoot, where was it? He redefined calling in a certain sense under the term of purpose.
Right.
Do you guys remember this? It was near the end
yep.
of the video. And now, I mean, one of the things I love is he misquotes who said it. He said that it was Franklin Buechner when it's Frederick Buechner. I just love the fact that this guy who's clearly a professional just makes a mistake. It's right out there, and I don't think he cares. But he says purpose is, and it's a paraphrase. It's not a direct quote. But he says purpose is where deep gladness meets the world's needs. I thought that was just terrific because if God is in charge of all things, isn't He going to arrange our hearts to enjoy something that's also going to fix the world's needs? You know, and so that's why He had us born as a male or a female. That's why He had us born in the now instead of 1,000 years ago, because we're needed here and now with our gender, with our race, with our gift mix, so that the deep gladness of our heart can meet the world's needs today, not 100 years ago or not 100 years in the future. I thought that was just a great quote of his.
Well, and I love the fact, by him misquoting but making the point, was that it is about understanding the God-given core desire of our heart that is the most fulfilling thing that we'll find in our life. But it really does end with how it blesses, helps other people. It's not just me being happy. It's
exactly.
This is to go to others. And when you have those two things meeting, there's nothing better than that. And it may not be your full-time attention, but it's got to be a good portion of your life doing that.
And so I looked up the quote because it was so important to me. And Buechner actually uses the word calling. He says the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness meets the world's deep hunger. And or I just think that's so it really ties in so close to our discussion about calling.
Yes. So hey, we're at 6:40 or 8:40, it depends on what time zone you're in. The world does revolve around mountain time, so that's why I keep referring to it. But anyway, my world does. Okay, so let's give some final thoughts. And I'm inviting this from everyone listening as well. Put it up on the chat line. We'll read it so that both Basecamp and Secret Garden can hear it. But the things that rest with me at the end of this are a few things that he said. Was being a photographer rock star really my goal? And I've seen too many people out there that find some passion, and now it's become being a rock star in that. Not just that they have the ambition to develop it to the greatest ability, but to really be a rock star, which means you're on stage, people are cheering, everybody sees you. So he says, really, that was not my goal. And then at the end, but he says, now, greatness, I don't really like that word as much, but he says, greatness should serve a greater purpose. So what was my greater purpose? I love that he was very transparent to say, I really wrestled with this is, hey, I achieved this, but that can't be my greater purpose. And then at the end, he asked these questions of all of us listening, right? What have you been too afraid of trying? And that still resonates with me, and I'm trying to live with that question of I want to try those things that I'm a little fearful of. And there's one point toward the end where he's talking about this Destiny Hotel, and he says, then I had this terrifying idea. I love that expression. I guess when I sat up and really wanted to listen, wow, what is this, you know? And so just not letting fear stop us, but just venture out into it, give it a try. And then he says, and I don't know if I can even find this. He said, I took my first step in speaking my fear and my dreams to you. That's what Basecamp and Secret Garden is here for, that we would be able in these communities to speak, you know, to take the first step by speaking our dreams and our fears to each other so then we can keep moving in them. So. That's my final thought.
I'll go back to the first thing I said because it just struck me. I've admired D.L. Moody for so long, and I've loved that quote, mm-hmm. and yet that quote, the world has yet to see what God can do through men whose heart is completely his. So often for me, it almost reeks of duty. In other words, okay, God, I don't care what you ask me to do. I'll do whatever it is. I'll suffer all that you want me to. I'm willing to do anything you tell me to do. And yet the picture from Jeremy Cowart's life is you've planted something in me that I can't ignore. So I'm going to be courageous with what you've planted in me, and I'm going to take every avenue to pursue that. You know, regardless of what comes against me. And to me, that's such a more life-giving approach, you know, a free approach to really let God use you the way he intended you to be used.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the thing that stirred me the most was I think a lot of people take risks early in – people who are risk takers will often take risks early in their career, but once they get something, they're not willing to risk losing it. But I think he's sort of – you know, he's still young in my eyes as an almost 40-year-old, but to him he's not that young, and yet he's still willing to take big risks to just change things dramatically. And I think so many of us get – caught up with the acclaim of, what did he call himself? A rock star, a photographic rock star, a photography
yeah.
rock star.
Yep.
And he was willing to let go of that and do something completely different. And that's what I like, is he didn't seem to be addicted to the acclaim and the praise, but he was more addicted to doing what he was called to do. And the truth is, right now he is getting some acclaim and praise, but, you know, it may be that God calls him someday to do something that doesn't get acclaim and praise, and I still think the sense I get from his heart is he's going to go where he's called, even if it doesn't seem to have the same obvious success that everything else he's had does. Because he's more addicted to just doing the right thing that he's called to, as opposed to the fame and the obvious success.
Yeah. And I think, I thought kind of a warning or disclaimer as we watch this is this, that we don't let, because again, it's just his story, but we need to make sure we don't let his level of success and notoriety and probably income and visibility kind of diminish the message that I think God wants to bring to us personally in different ways about this, that we say, well, that's fine, that's for him. I obviously don't have that life where I become famous in everything I do and just move to the next thing. You know, that's not the point. And as John said, there's always more to our life than we see, so we can compare and say, well, I'm not him, so this doesn't apply to me. But I just think this was the power of a story, and it's his story, and it really is our story that, you know, through Christ we can do all things through him who strengthens us. And to live that way, let that inspire us and become part of our story, you know. I just remembered, I was just looking it up, I was listening to McManus on that. In fact, that was that video I posted earlier on Basecamp of the Secret Garden, where he was speaking at Biola, and one of the things he said was, sometimes we believe the lie that we are less and others are more. And I thought, that's really good. It's really easy to go, well, see, I'm less and he's more. So that's the way it'll always be, so I'm just going to throw that whole thing out. Instead of saying, no, actually, we're all more by the work of Christ in our lives. So, yes, yeah, so don't, you know, let's not get taken back a little bit by this unbelievable success that he's had as far as visibility, you know, so.
Right.
So, everyone, this was fun. This was really fun, and we've gone 50 minutes on this. So, thank you for joining us on this conversation, being part of this with us. And, next week, next Thursday, we're going to see what John and Sam come up with.
Hey, we came up last week's after we fixed yours.
I'm just going to call Lacey and ask her if she knows any more videos.
That's true. I should just go ask her too. Yeah, that's true. Exactly. So, and everyone, you are invited to join us again, if you'd like to, next Tuesday as we do talk about chapter three, the content of that chapter of It's Your Call, with the online calling intensive workshop. So thank you, everybody, and good night.
Good night.